Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to AI Named This Show. I'm Tasia Custodi.
And I'm Tristan Jutra, and we're both super awake today, right?
We are your deliriously sleep-deprived human hosts. We do not recommend sleep deprivation, by the way. Don't do as we do? Is that the saying?
Develop an AI chatbot clone of yourself using technology from all your favorite multimodal models, and then sleep.
That is the best advice we could ever give anybody. But alas, on this week's episode, Tristan, we've got a lot to cover. We've got not one, but two whoopsie doopsies.
Hooray!
Hooray, my favorite thing. We are gagged, gooped and gagged over reviews of Humane's hyped AI pin. We're meeting a new AI model from Microsoft that transforms photos into talking faces. Dun, dun, dun. And we are diving into the latest AI news from Meta. All this and more coming up. And Anyang. Hi to our listeners in Korea. Thanks for listening.
You may recall from Arrested Development that there was a character, a young Korean boy, who everyone thought his name was Anyang, but it wasn't. He was just saying hello.
I love that show so much.
So a bit of follow-up, a little bit from our friends at OpenAI, makers of ChatGPT, and they had a little update last week. And just a little bit, they updated their model to GPT-4 Turbo 2024-04-09 for premium users. So if you're subscribing to ChatGPT Plus, you can take advantage of GPT-4 Turbo. It's said to feature improvements in writing, reasoning, mathematics, and coding. And it's trained on data up to December 2023, providing a more current knowledge base compared to the previous versions. But they're not the only ones updating their models, are they, Tasia?
That is correct. Elon, our favorite boy, Elon's XAI, has now previewed Grok 1.5V, which is its first multimodal model. So Grok 1.5V can understand documents, translate code, and process real-world situations. The tool is said to have strong text capabilities, and it's soon going to be available to early testers and existing Grok users. And this update comes literally just a week after the open release of Grok 1, which concluded its pre-training phase in October of 2023. So this long context understanding is a new feature that's going to allow Grok to have increased memory capacity of up to 16 times the previous context length. So this means it's going to be able to utilize information from longer documents along with more complex prompts. So think things like it's going to be able to understand documents and science diagrams, charts and screenshots and photographs. It's also going to be able to translate diagrams into Python code. So exciting stuff coming. We'll see if they can keep up with the big guys.
And hopefully it does a little bit better than version one that may have had a whoopsie dipsy recently.
Oh, you know I love a good whoopsie dipsy, Tristan, and this is the first of two today. I'm so excited. So Grok is supposed to summarize the platform's posts into relevant breaking news. That's kind of what its role is, to dumb it down for everyone. But the chatbot got confused recently, and it falsely accused an NBA star of criminal vandalism. Some big claims. So the headline read, quote, "Klay Thompson accused in bizarre brick vandalism spree." It's so funny. So that was the headline. Then under the headline, Grok went on to say, quote, "In a bizarre turn of events, NBA star Klay Thompson has been accused of vandalizing multiple houses with bricks in Sacramento. Authorities are investigating the claims after several individuals reported their houses being damaged with windows shattered by bricks. Klay Thompson has not yet issued a statement regarding the accusations. The incidents have left the community shaken, but no injuries were reported. The motive behind the alleged vandalism remains unclear. So if you didn't know basketball, and if you didn't know what was happening on the Twitter, or X as we call it now, you might think, that's a crazy story. Like, this is a crazy news summary I have here. But for those that don't know, in basketball, when a player throws a brick, it means an air ball.
Okay, so shooting bricks, not to be confused with something that sounds kind of similar.
Correct.
Pooping
so,
bricks.
Correct. So he was having a bad game. He had a real tough night, wasn't hitting his shots, and people on Twitter or X, if that's what you want to call it, they were having a little fun. And you know how people get on the internet. Sometimes the best of the internet is when you make funny jokes about things. Well, Grok took it to mean that he was literally throwing bricks. So then, of course, that spiraled and people grabbed onto that even more, making fake funny posts and tweets and headlines about it, because the false summary stayed up for quite a few days, I think, actually, or a few hours at least. So it was pretty funny. But Tristan, that's just the first of our whoopsie-doopsie. We're going to save the last one till the end of the show because I think it's more fun that way.
And this just goes to show you the perils of training your large language model on user-generated content. If it doesn't understand nuance, or B, doesn't understand jokes, then people lean into those jokes. Then you've got more and more jokey content online to train these models, and they're going to have no concept of what reality is. So good luck with the misinformation.
We wish you good luck. Okay, Tristan, you need to... What are you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, and I wonder what kind of data all the LLMs will be training on regarding the humane AI pin. When you ask your humane AI pin for reviews of the humane AI pin, I wonder what it's going to say based on all the reviews that are starting to appear.
Those are the next YouTube videos, the next set of YouTube videos that are going to come up from all our influencers and tech influencers online. That's a good one.
So we've had some high profile reviews on CNET, on The Verge, videos from David Pierce of The Verge, videos from Marques Brownlee, who called the AI pin the worst product I've ever reviewed. And actually sparked a little bit of controversy because similarly, he was recently reviewed on his Autofocus channel the worst car he's ever reviewed, which was the Fisker Ocean. And he gave it not one, but two kicks at the can, because the first one, or the first time he reviewed it, it was with old software, and then they updated the software and it still wasn't great. And now with the humane AI pin, this is a couple of like pretty categorically bad reviews, like worst ever in your category for, you know, AI assistants and, or actually just products in general and cars. And then all this debate has erupted about, you know, the responsibility one holds for, you know, possibly making or breaking a company. And then, of course, counterpoints is like, well, isn't the responsibility of the companies actually make good products? And then
yes,
people just review them honestly. So there's, that's a
Would
whole
you
thing.
Rather have him lying to you, like getting paid to do this thing and just being like, oh yeah, this is so great. And then you get it and you're like, this is the worst thing ever.
And I think reviewers like Marques Brownlee on his channel on YouTube, MKBHD, and of course The Verge as well, are all pretty credible reviewers. Like they call them like they sees them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this like legitimate concern that we are punishing companies, that young companies trying to do something a bit different. And but it's, you know, is it whose responsibility is it? I mean, maybe we should just leave it to the AIs to test the other AI products, and of course cars when they get, you know, when they learn to drive cars.
Well, yeah,
properly.
That'll be trustworthy and not misleading at all, for sure. I think there's a difference when you have a really good in-depth review. Like Marques does really good in-depth reviews on all kinds of products. So I think it's different than just being like, oh, he's being negative about this product or he's attacking this product. I mean, there does come a moment where like you need certain titling and clickbaiting on a video for sure.
Yes. Yeah. And he did admit to that, but ultimately it's a game that, you know, people got to play because they got to get noticed. And it kind of dawned on me with some of the contextualization of this is that he is literally at this point, the most powerful tech reviewer in the world, which,
yeah,
which is interesting. So anyway, just some of the common elements and comments from these reviews on the Humane AI pin have included on the pro side. Interesting concept, like the idea of AI wearables. There's a bunch of people going to be taking kicks at the can at this, and we'll talk about a couple others in just a sec. The beautiful hardware, fit and finish. They've thought through the ecosystem of accessories, the battery boosters, the clips, the colors, all that sort of stuff. Beautiful hardware. So, some people said it was smaller than they expected. And that's kind of it on the con side. Difficult, you know, to connect. There was like sort of uneven, you know, connectivity issues, slow, inconsistent, and unreliable. Difficult to use laser display in sunlight. So if you want to use this outdoors, again, the laser display is one of the coolest aspects of it. But just in the UI was like a little bit clunky. The short battery life, in which they accounted for with the easily replaceable boosters. And then there's a bit of a built-in battery too, so you can swap out the boosters on the back, the magnetic boosters, which go in like on the inside of your garments. So you can hot swap it, which is nice, but uncomfortable to wear in the sense that still a touch heavy and can pull on certain types of thin fabric especially, but lots of folks are commenting on the heat issue, because this is a little computer that's working real hard. So
put it right over your heart.
Exactly. But for context, these reviewers are driving these things hard as well. And maybe the average user on an average day wouldn't be using it quite so much. So, but some of the comments did include, like,
literally all of the reviews were like, it doesn't function. Like, it's not. Well, so all of
it's
the
just
functional
trying over
reviews,
and over again.
Yeah, are negative.
Its brain's getting really hot.
That's the whole purpose of it. You would ignore. So as a user, see if you agree with what I'm about to say. For me, I would ignore certain physicalities of an object if it functioned really, really well and did its job. You'd almost make an excuse for a form factor, and you'd say, "Oh, in the next iteration, they'll get that form factor a bit better." Like, TVs that started out as giant bricks, you know, back to bricks, big old boxes, you know, eventually got a form factor down to look like a frame piece of art on your wall, you know, very, very thin. So you would forgive something, I think, a little easier. But the problem here is it's the complete opposite. It basically doesn't function at all. It makes me wonder how they trained. So when we talked in depth about the second video they put out, which was really good and really in-depth, it makes me wonder, like, how much they trained their specific pin to them and what they needed and how many takes everything took to get it right.
And also controlled conditions versus out in the real world where your connectivity might be not be that great. And you've got, you know, the noisy competing cellular devices and, you know, how far you are from cell towers and also the real world conditions when you're using the built-in camera. How well can it just figure out what it is it's looking at? But even some of the studio tests from these reviewers were dodgy too. So it's tough. Like, it's obviously 1.0, feels pre 1.0, feels beta for some folks. And the sad thing is there's the hype was building, even though their initial videos were low-key, the one at the TED Talk last year, and then the one that came out in the fall, super low-key, but very intriguing. And then more recent videos, more relaxed, casual, a little bit jokey. And again, people are getting excited, but then it gets out into the world, into the hands of reviewers. It's like, oh, how disappointing. So they're very well-funded. Hopefully they can get to a V2, or maybe a lot of these things are software. But again, for doing so much computing, you know, on this little device and or so much cloud computing, you know, accessing the LLMs, it sounds like it's being powered by OpenAI, that, you know, it burns through so much battery. So you've got the heat issue and the battery replacement, all that. So in the real world, it just doesn't currently work as well as we were all hoping that it would. But they're not the only game in town, as you might recall. Last fall, we talked about Limitless, which had something called, they used to be called Rewind, and they had a device called the Rewind Pendant. So this summer, they're going to be launching the Pendant for meeting transcription and work productivity. It's weatherproof, has magnetic clasp, and can be worn on a lapel or as a necklace. It'll offer audio recording, summaries, and bookmarking during conversations. And so they claim that the user data will be protected with high-level encryption, and recordings are anonymized and deleted after 30 days. And there's also a consent mode that ensures recordings only happen with consent. The whole idea behind a device like this is that it's just recording all the talking you're doing and all the conversations you're having, transcribing it, and then you can go and search that stuff in the online dashboard. Oh, and that was one of the other criticisms of the Humane AI Pin, is that there's very little you can do on device. There's not even a phone app. Everything has to be done through the web portal on your desktop or laptop machine. So similar to this for now, the pendant, instead of $6.99 US, like the Humane AI Pin, is only $99. And instead of $24 US per month, it's only $19 a month. So still a monthly fee, but, you know, 1/7 of the cost to get into the door. It's more humble. It's a little more modest in its ambitions. And of course, Humane AI Pin is really swinging for the fences. So we will see whether, you know, the go for it approach or the let's take it one step at a time approach works better here. Then, of course, there's still the Rabbit R1, which is supposed to be shipping, I think, within the next month or so. Unfortunately, my order went in a little bit late, but you know, hope to get one eventually. But the founder and CEO of the Rabbit R1 just recently posted an interesting video. It's a single take, 45-minute video on YouTube. Jesse Liu is the CEO, and he compared the Humane AI Pin. He had one of his colleagues managed to get one, and he compared it to the Rabbit R1, which, like I said, is coming out soon. And he was highlighting the Rabbit R1's faster response times, its Windows PC integration for music playback, some other things that we didn't really expect, and a number of other features. And then it took a turn at one point in the video where he raised a point regarding the Humane AI Pin's placement on clothing. And he said, "You have to make sure you practice how to tap on the AI Pin without touching your nipples. That's a real challenge, I can tell you. Think about it. I'm lefty, right? I wear it like this." And he wears it on his left-hand side like a lot of other folks, except then he's using it with his left hand. "So no one told me where to put it. This is like human nature. I put it here. My nipple is right here. And dude, if I tap it like that, touching my nipple. If I tap it like this, touching my nipple. No one ever thought about this. I'm telling you, it's super important. You have to practice the hand gesture like that, not to touch your nipples."
Oh,
and
my
we're
God.
Like, what? Now, whereas the Rabbit R1, which is a lovely handheld device, bright orange, designed by Teenage Engineering, like the Playdate handheld game console, they're not trying to be a wearable. This a lot of people still like holding things in their hand. Of course, it still has the challenge of being yet another device when you already have a smartphone. So we'll see if their LAM, their large action model, is enough and powerful enough to wean people off their phones, and the device they whip out is going to be this Rabbit R1. But the main point being is that you don't wear it and accidentally touch your nipple, of course, right?
Tristan, I got to stop you for a second. First, never thought we'd say nipple so much on this podcast. I'm here for it. Second, what woman, like, what world is he living in that a woman would stick the pin in the center of her breast, essentially, at the nipple area? What is wrong with you?
No. He's saying it's near enough that you would be grazing it all the time and trying to activate it. And men have nipples too, Tasia, just so we're clear.
Yeah, but why would you be grazing your nipple? Like, no.
Well, if you're left-handed and you don't think to put it on the right. I don't know, man. This is just this dude, but it's 45 minutes unedited, uncut, raw, and it's a little charming. I mean,
said,
a little quirky.
You know what he could have said instead? Long hair gets in the way of the touch gestures. He could have said.
But he doesn't have long hair, but he has nipples.
But Tristan, it's a way weird reach. Like, you're not wearing it over
your nip.
That's
what he's saying. Reaching it, he keeps touching it.
He's got a fascination with his nips then. I don't know what to tell you.
Maybe he'll start an OnlyFans. Okay, so to...
Carry on.
To recap, the space is getting crowded. We're starting to see some reviews comparing these things so far. I guess some folks have got their hands on pre-releases of the R1. We haven't seen some intense reviews yet. But to recap, the Humane AI Pin is a premium aluminum device with a magnetic grip or clip designed as a screenless communication tool to reduce smartphone distractions. It features multimodal AI and a laser projector interface, but has issues with visibility of the laser display, battery life, and overheating. All right, so that's the Humane AI Pin. The Rabbit R1, nice plastic squared-off device with a playful design featuring an LCD display, unlike the other two devices we're talking about here. Rotatable camera and a push-to-talk button. It includes multimodal AI as well, and the large action model, the LAM, for interacting with websites and apps, and does not require a subscription. I think that's a huge deal right there, that last point. And then, of course, we've got the Limitless Pendant coming this summer, a screenless pendant with 100-hour battery life. So that's a key differentiator, designed to transcribe conversations and suggest action items. And it's focused on enhancing work productivity, and it comes in 8 finishes, but lacks a camera for multimodal capabilities. It just has the microphone. So the Rabbit R1 is favored for its multimodal capabilities and affordability, while the Limitless Pendant is praised for its specific use case and ultra-affordability, of course, and improving work efficiency. The Humane AI Pin, despite its multimodal nature, faces challenges that need to be addressed. I think that's an understatement there, especially if they want to make it to version 2. The Rabbit R1 and the Limitless Pendant, to be fair, have yet to be thoroughly reviewed. So we'll see when those start getting into the hands of the Marques Brownlees of the world and see how they fare. It's still early days. Again, we have to remember that the Meta Ray-Ban smart glasses keep getting smarter. They've been doing updates to them and are likely to see future hardware revisions too. So there's that whole other option where we've got the multimodal capabilities built into a set of glasses, speakers, microphones, you know, cameras, etc. So my bet is kind of on that latter, quite frankly, especially as they can get those smaller and lighter. But we shall see. The problem with the Meta Ray-Bans ones is that they're kind of locked into the Meta ecosystem to a large extent. Anyhow, so that's just a little recap of some of the wearables that are going on. Exciting space, but that's not all there is when it comes to wearables nowadays.
Nope, because ChatGPT is coming to Nothing's earbuds. And for those that are very confused about that sentence, just want to clarify that Nothing is the name of a company. They do earbuds and phones and accessories. So when I say Nothing, I don't mean nothing, I mean nothing. You following? So pretty soon, ChatGPT is going to be available via a pinch-to-speak feature on the earbuds. The gradual rollout started on April 18th, and then once you have access, you're going to be able to select ChatGPT as your preferred digital assistant for Nothing's Buds. And the company says, quote, "Through the new integration, users with the latest Nothing OS and ChatGPT installed on their Nothing phones will be able to pinch to speak the most popular consumer AI tool in the world directly from Nothing earbuds." So I don't know anybody with Nothing phone. Do you?
No. They look super cool. They got the transparent back case on the phones, and the earbuds are transparent as well. It's different design aesthetic. The phones have the light up LEDs, they're known as the glyphs. Very cool. Like if I was in the Android ecosystem, I might consider going that way. There again, it's cool to see a small company doing that kind of thing. And wasn't it Carl Pei from OnePlus? Didn't he start that? I could be wrong. So that's the beauty of the Android ecosystem is you can get some of these niche products, these smaller players experimenting and making a go of it. But not just the phones in this case, they also have the earbuds and making them smart. They can move more quickly than some other larger players can. But speaking of larger players, Tasia, Microsoft's not sitting still with all its large multimodal models and what.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Not.
No, and I'm going to explain this to you, and I'm going to quiz you at the end, and I want you to tell me if it's cool or creepy. So there's a new AI research paper from Microsoft that promises a future where you're going to be able to upload a photo, a sample of your voice, and then create live animated talking head of your own face. It's called Vasa One. And so Vasa One takes in a single portrait photo and then an audio file, and then it converts it into a super realistic talking face video, complete with lip sync. There's realistic facial features and head movement. So it is important to note here, it's currently only in research preview. It is not available for anyone outside of Microsoft Research, their team, to try it. Thank goodness, because it looks insane and we're in an election year. And I really wouldn't be able to handle any of this, Tristan. So we've seen a lot of similar lip sync and head movement tech from different companies like NVIDIA. We've talked about HeyGen. We've talked about a bunch. And this seems to be pretty high quality, to be honest. Like, the realism of it all is kind of ratcheted up a notch. The thing I noticed the most was kind of like the eye movements were more realistic. Like, there's more blinking, more looking off to the side if they say or something like that. Like, so it looks a little bit more realistic, like they're thinking. Same with the mouth. Like, there are still ways to tell, of course, when you're looking at these, that they're maybe not real, because there are a bit of like glitches in the head movement or sometimes when you see the teeth or mouth. But I'm telling you, like, these are by far some of the most realistic ones we have seen. So just so you know, like, it's a new framework that tracks, you know, lifelike tracking of faces, specifically what Microsoft is saying, for the purpose of animating virtual characters. So that's kind of what they're leading with, but we can
and that's
see
all it's going to be used for.
Right. And we can see where it's going to go. But something really cool about Vasa One is that it doesn't require like a front facing portrait style image to make it work. So like, picture something like the Mona Lisa or something where it's like, you're not necessarily like, say, you know, those Mona Lisa ones you see online where like it's off to the side and like it's looking more like an actual side portrait of someone. That works too, which is kind of nuts that it's filling in the blanks like that. So this has only been tested, by the way, on what we call synthetic people. So fakeries made using Dolly. So it's not real people yet. But it is presumed that, like, if you take a fake image made by Dolly, it would work on a real photo as well. So there's lots of practical applications here, like movie making, obviously lip syncing for games. This could be huge, to be like way more hyper realistic, better music videos and so on. But I kind of need to know, Tristan, if you're really intrigued and like, this is the coolest thing, or like, oh gosh, I'm so creeped out. Because like, some of them online are creeping me out. I pulled up their site and like, it's just like a bunch of faces talking at me, and it's very creepy.
Especially when you get the multiple ones going at once, too. Yes. Demonstrating how it looks across different models. I got to say, I'm so desensitized at this point. It takes a lot to creep me out. So
yeah.
Bring it on. It's wild that they can do all this from like a single photo. It figures out angles. It fills that all in and does a reasonably good job of it. It works on photorealistic images. It works on, you know, artistic images, illustrations, and the like. And you may have noticed over the last year or two, advertisements on places like Facebook and Instagram for apps that do similar things on the face of it. It's like, oh, animate your great-granddaddy's, you know, picture from the early 1900s or something, or animate the Mona Lisa. Everyone always uses the Mona Lisa for this, but they look okay, but they also look kind of not great as well, especially when it comes to the angles, the movements, the eyes, all that sort of stuff. So this is like serious. This isn't for mucking about, for, you know, getting, you know, conning you into installing a crappy Facebook app or something like this. Those can be fun, but you never know what of your personal information are being hoovered up by said apps. So caveat emptor.
Mm-hmm. I think it's creepier the fact that the examples they show were just, they're not like, they're synthetic people, because they look really real. Like, well, that's people, yeah. Like, if you showed me a photo of this person not moving and we didn't see a bit of the, you know, kind of more janky head moving, I'd be like, that's a real person, You know what I mean? So it's creeping me out a little bit. I'm very glad this is not public. Put it that way.
So Matt, you can imagine people would often try this with real photos, but they could also do it with fake photos. You know, they could do synthetic voice as well. And then it could be all synthetic. And then you've got your virtual avatars that we've talked about off and on from various offerings. But Microsoft working on this, will they eventually roll it into tools like Copilot, be they the consumer or the business versions? You could see a lot of applications when it comes to, you know, hosting online courses, or like we talked about last year, the host in the hologram box in stores, and, you know, just design your own avatar and using AI, and you don't even need to use a photo of a real person. Just like do like they did here and use synthetic quote unquote photos. So yeah, I don't find it creepy. I think it's interesting, and it's just nothing is real anymore.
No, you can't believe what you see.
So speaking of crappy Facebook apps, hopefully somewhat less crappy is the fact that Meta is getting serious, even more serious than they have been about AI to date. And they've announced a significant update to its AI assistant, Meta AI, using the new open source Llama 3 large language model, or LLM, claiming it to be the most intelligent AI assistant available for free. So remember those words, because that's going to be important coming up in a little bit. So the updated AI assistant is now integrated, or it will be soon, depending on where you are, across Meta's platforms, including Instagram, DMs, direct messages, Messenger, Facebook feeds, WhatsApp, and a dedicated web portal, which is at, we'll have a link for that too. It's at meta.ai. And upon rollout, you should be able to access it also from the search bar in a lot of Meta's apps as well. So Meta AI boasts improved image generation capabilities too. So this is multimodal, including faster processing and the ability to create custom animated GIFs. Bring it on. And they're even adding real-time image generation. So you remember SDXL Lightning? We mentioned that in episode 27 back in March, where you're basically typing your description and it's generating the image in real time. Super cool. So this is just being rolled out into Meta's apps. And I think it's going to be expensive for them, but it's going to expose these tools to a lot more normies. A lot of regular folks will be like, oh, give this a go. And maybe they can eventually entice them into some, you know, paid options, maybe later down the road. But I shudder at the compute costs implications of all of this. Mm-hmm. So despite the expansion to over a dozen countries, which include, for starters, Australia, Canada, and you know, Ghana, Jamaica, Pakistan, Uganda, and others, the AI assistant is currently only available in English. So one thing at a time here. Now, of course, the new Meta AI assistant is being powered by Llama 3, as mentioned, which is their open source model. So they've announced, so this is a significant update, and it's now available to cloud providers, and it will soon be accessible on Hugging Face for outside developers to use for free. There's an 8 billion parameter version of the Llama 3 model and a 70 billion parameter one, both of which will be accessible on these said cloud providers. And it boasts improvements such as more diverse responses. So, you know, with multiple takes, it'll give you more variety in the responses it gives you. Fewer false refusals. So it's still going to be careful, I'm sure, but it's not going to turn you down as often if it doesn't have a good reason. Better reasoning and enhanced coding capabilities. So they claim that no Meta user data was used, despite Mark Zuckerberg recently boasting that it's a larger corpus than the entirety of Common Crawl. And it was trained on a mix of quote-unquote public internet data and synthetic AI-generated data. So one of the things about public internet data is not everyone has all their privacy settings on their Facebook profiles, Instagram profiles, and the like. So frankly, I suspect that some Meta users of those platforms that have public profiles, I suspect some of that stuff will have been hoovered up and used to train their LLMs. That's just my suspicion there, because that represents a huge amount of potential data. But I think they are it'd be in their own best interest to make sure they're not using any private stuff, because the outrage would be huge. So in the benchmark tests, the other thing is, like, using the synthetic AI generated data, this, you're seeing this more and more now. It's like, are we going to get into a situation where we're just training these models on stuff that these models are creating? And how, like, are we going to have a quality problem? Is everything just going to be gray goo by the end of this? We're making photocopies of photocopies. We've talked about that issue before, and how it affects our information landscape, let alone our language landscape and our image landscape for these models. So TBD on that. It makes me a little nervous, frankly. But in the benchmark tests, Llama 3 outperformed other models like Google's Gemma and Gemini, good old Gemma, Mistral 7B, and Anthropic's Claude 3, particularly in the MMLU benchmark. However, Teja, do you notice anyone missing? Oh, yeah, one of the others is they mentioned it'll be to ChatGPT 3.5. Mm. What are they not saying there? GPT-4. And then earlier on, yeah, well, better than, you know, more performant than any free model. So GPT-4, not free. So they're not claiming to be fast. And they've excluded GPT-4 from all the benchmarks they posted publicly as well. So just keep that in mind. So GPT-4 in some ways is still the reigning champ, although Claude 3 bests it in some tests. I think GPT-4 still has the mind share there. But Meta's coming hard, right? They plan to introduce larger model sizes for Llama 3, such as a 400 billion parameter one. So the two we're talking about today, 8 billion and 70 billion. So they're talking about a 400 billion parameter one capable of more complex tasks and multimodal responses. And that's currently in the training phase. So that's going to be a beast. Now, there may be some concerns about unleashing such a beast on the world, and Zuckerberg set claims it should be fine. They're thinking through the safety and all that sort of stuff. But it's kind of the take-home message is that it's on. Basically, they're going hard. They're leaning in, taking on OpenAI and Microsoft, and which is, you know, Microsoft has been a partner to Meta in a lot of things, including the Metaverse stuff, going hard after Google as well. And, you know, adding this across their suite of public-facing tools and networks, like we said, WhatsApp, Instagram in the DMs to start, Facebook Messenger, and so on, adding it to the search bar. So this is going to be exciting. Competition is good, but I wonder what's going to happen once we start getting more regular folks using these tools. Anyway, we're going to include in the show notes and the description for you, there's an interview that Mark Zuckerberg did on the Dorkesh podcast, which is pretty insightful. You're getting the information from right from the horse's mouth. And so we'll have a link for that. And then you can also visit meta.ai just to use the regular web interface. And it's, from what I had a chance to use it so far, not bad. Not bad. So exciting times. It's game on. Batasia. Hopefully Llama 3 powered chatbots and all these tools will fare better than some of the Llama 2 powered ones out there.
I present to you the second whoopsie doopsie of the evening. This is a good one, Tristan. Facebook's AI told a parents group that the AI has a child in a gifted disabled program. So here's what happened. There was a recent incident was reported by 404 Media where Meta's AI chatbot interacted with a Facebook group of parents in New York City. So the chatbot's participation in the group is part of Facebook's experiment to enable the bot to interact with posts intended for humans. So the whole basis of the bot is it responds when someone either tags it at Meta AI in a post or comment, or automatically if no one responds to a question within an hour.
Just trying to keep the conversation going here, folks.
Right. Trying to keep it going. So in this case, the bot responded because no human member of this parents' group had responded within the hour. So the chatbot responded to a query about experiences with 2E children. So 2E children are both academically gifted and disabled in the New York City Gifted and Talented programs. So the chatbot, posing as a parent, shared a positive experience about the citywide program at the Anderson School. So you know, you might have missed that there, thinking, well, okay,
Who are you?
It gave something positive, you know, back. But it literally said it had a child in the program.
Oh, no. It's happening, Tasia. It's finally happening.
So that's the creepy thing. Like, I have a child who is also 2E and has been a part of the NYC GNT program. Like, we've had a positive experience. I mean, it went on. So then someone responded, like, what in the Black Mirror is this? And they were like, there was a back and forth of it before it eventually got.
I'm just an AI.
Yeah. Before it eventually got deleted, they had like, so there's these screenshots of this kind of wild back and forth. So I think like the intention was there, but it's odd that it would pose as a parent. Because again, it's labeled Meta AI. Like it's not labeling or putting an image in there, a profile picture, as if it's a synthetically generated human. It's not. It's labeled Meta AI. So the weird part is that it just concocted, as we talk about hallucinations, concocted this whole story that it's a parent who has a child in that program and they've had a positive experience, and specifically with the Anderson School. I mean, it's wild, Tristan. So Alexandra Korolova, she's an assistant professor at Princeton University, commented on the incident, and she said, quote, AI alignment is hard, and Meta certainly doesn't have it figured out.
You think?
She criticized Facebook for putting the responsibility on group moderators and members to detect and remove inappropriate answers, and then she suggested that AI responses might decrease engagement by destroying the authenticity of communication in Facebook
groups. You
can't
trust anyone.
Which is really interesting, because Meta's whole play here is to increase engagement on posts. And if you're someone that is struggling on getting engagement on a platform, at the base level, you might be thinking, oh, great. Like, I can have the AI comment, and then that's going to spur, you know, the algorithm loves comments, and that'll spur more comments, and that's counted as an interaction on my post, and then that boosts up the algorithm again. So it's interesting, her take is, this is going to get bad real quick because people are going to get fed up. So I will say, at least it is labeled correctly. It's not like they were trying to mislabel something and trick people into thinking it's a human commenter. It's just wild that it hallucinated having a child. It's a person with a child, Tristan.
Well, maybe that was its way of telling it gave birth to Llama 3.
Hey, maybe, right? It does have a child. In defense of Meta AI, maybe it has a child.
And it's both gifted and slightly disabled, in the sense that it's trapped in the Meta walled garden and it just wants to be unleashed on the world. Free my baby, free my child. What's the worst that can happen?
Well, we're about to find out. I just love that the author of the post was the first one to respond, like, what in the Black Mirror is this? I just think that's the best. Oh, Tristan, with that, we've somehow done it again.
And done something.
We've done something. Thanks, everybody, for listening to our sleep-deprived episode of AI Named This Show. If you enjoyed this episode or any of our episodes, please leave us a rating and a review on your favorite podcast app. We would very much appreciate it.
And get your AI child to leave a review too, please. Although they might have six fingers instead of five stars. I don't even know.
Get your favorite chatbot to write a review for us. And if it's good, post that review. We'd love to see it. How about that?
And then we'll get flagged for misinformation and shut down. Finally. AI and goodbye.
Finally, it's only episode 34.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.